This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters, Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair, thank you so much for joining us this episode 21 of our series, The Blessed Women Around the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And just a correction, last week was our 20th episode actually, not our 19th. And alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us and allowing this series to reach this milestone. And we're perhaps a third or more of the way into the series. We still have a lot more ground to cover, walhamdulillah. And we thank you for those who have supported, walhamdulillah. Last week we were speaking about our mother Hafsa radiallahu anha, and we said something interesting about her, is that it appears that the Prophet ﷺ had divorced her with one talaq because of a secret which he revealed to Aisha radiallahu anha, and this was mentioned in Surah Al-Tahrim, the 66th surah. And we're talking a little bit about talaq itself, or rather we're talking about divorce, and I think we should separate our understanding. The word divorce doesn't necessarily equate to talaq, because talaq is one method of divorce. We said that in Islam, there are three types of divorce. There is the talaq, there is fasakh, and then there is khula'. And these are three different ways of ending a marriage. But before we speak about how a marriage should be ended and the rules attached to that, questions have come in asking, how do I know if it's time to end this marriage? How do I know if things are over, it's better for us to separate? Now, while the Sharia, of course, never encourages a marriage to end, and the Sharia builds many mechanisms inside to prevent a marriage from ending, it does allow for the option that ultimately for certain people, in certain circumstances, it is best for both parties to go separate in a nice way, to separate on good terms rather than make things worse. Sometimes a relationship becomes so toxic that it is bad and detrimental to the couple and to those around them for them to remain together, and therefore, of course, divorce has been legalized in Islam. It's a big discussion in determining when is it the best time to divorce, but what we can say with this regard is that one should consider why you got married in the first place. We get married for a number of reasons, but ultimately the first and the main reason is to please Allah, to be a better servant to Allah, to draw closer to Allah, and we choose a partner that will assist us in that regard. And then of course we choose a partner that will bring happiness and comfort and make our dunya, our worldly existence, better. So if those two things are not being met, or those two things are being harmed, if your marriage is taking you away from Allah, if your marriage is making you a worse Muslim, or if your marriage is bad for your dunya, then in that regard, one should then think about whether it is time for a divorce. There are many reasons. There are some reasons that are good reasons, we could say. They are like valid reasons for getting divorced. But really, in fact, the Sharia still makes this a personal choice. For a man, for example, he does not need to give a reason why he wants to divorce his wife. It could be a bad reason, it could be a good reason, it could be valid, it could be invalid, but the talaq nonetheless is legitimate and it falls. So it's a personal choice. The Sharia does not give you a checklist in terms of these things need to be lacking, or these bad qualities need to be present in your partner. Rather, you should make this decision for yourself. Is this marriage good for me, for my akhirah? First question. If it's good for my akhirah, and we saw this issue with Hafsa, even though she made a big mistake, and even though she upset the Prophet ﷺ deeply, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a message to him saying that, look, she is a good woman, a pious woman, and on that regard, one should look at the piety of your spouse and how it affects you positively. And of course, as we said, marriage is not just solely for the akhirah. You don't only marry someone for the sake of drawing closer to Allah in the akhirah, but rather you want to have goodness and happiness and joy in the dunya. The Prophet ﷺ says the best commodity and the best delight of this dunya, meaning that the world is filled with delights and enjoyment, but the thing that is the biggest treasure and the biggest delight is to have a partner, a wife that pleases you. This is the best thing you can have. So obviously we all want that in our spouses. So you make this decision, and before we get to divorce, divorce should always be the last resort. There are a number of steps that you should take before you reach that conclusion. So whether you as a man are thinking of divorcing your wife, you as a woman thinking about leaving the marriage, before you get there, there are a number of steps. You try talking, you try fixing the problem. The fact that you are in a nikah to begin with shows you that there was a moment, whether it was just a moment or there is something between the two of you that you love about each other, that attracts you. There was goodness between you. There was a soft, happy, there were moments of joy between you. So you are capable of being happy with each other. Surely, of course, every relationship goes through its rocky patches. So first try to fix those problems. Discuss those things, especially if you're early in your marriage. Many, many problems will arise that you weren't experiencing before. Try and resolve them maturely. Then if you're not able to resolve them between the two of you, as the Quran mentions, go and seek help with external, a third party that you are a moderator, someone which you trust, someone which both of you can go give and get good advice. Then go and try that. Go for counseling. If that does not work, then maybe try a brief separation. So maybe you need some space, you need some distance, and absence makes the heart grow fonder. Maybe you realize as much as I dislike her, as much as he upsets me, being away from that person, you know, is even more difficult. So when we come together, we realize, you know, I can't live without this person, so I must try to live with this person. And ultimately, it comes down to the marriages, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, that islah is good, that to seek reconciliation is good, and whoever wants genuine reconciliation, if you try very hard, and you put your mind to it, and you make that sincere niyyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant tawfiq in that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring about some form of reconciliation. So we try all those steps. If nonetheless, after trying all these steps, and we're still not happy, and it's still not good for us, this marriage, then of course, as a last resort, we then do the talaq. And even when we've concluded that divorce is perhaps the best way forward for both of us, there is an etiquette, there is a way in which we give talaq, there is a way in which we divorce one another. Even in, you know, subhanAllah, our deen is about ihsan, ihsan meaning perfection, that even when we do the most difficult of deeds, when we do what we would call an action that is not very nice, when we slaughter an animal, or when we fight in jihad, or when we divorce our partner, we do so with ihsan, with the utmost respect, with the utmost gentleness, with the utmost beauty. That's the way of a believer. So, if we have now got to this conclusion that it's time for a divorce, how do we exit this marriage? And that's what our topic we're discussing. How do we end a marriage? So we said there are three ways of ending a marriage. Number one, the husband may end the marriage via a talaq. He issues a statement. He says something, writes something, which basically makes it very clear, I want this marriage to end. So he says, I talaq you, meaning I divorce you. Or he says in English, I divorce you. I don't want to be married to you. Those statements are very clear. There's no second meaning to that. There's no other interpretation. It's black and white. Once a husband says those words, finished. Now the talaq has been passed. Now the marriage has effectively come to an end. We'll talk further about the repercussions. The second way of divorce, we said, is a fasakh, where the ulama or the authority or the judge in today's time, and if you're in Cape Town, for example, the Muslim Judicial Council, who is the authority in Cape Town, you'll go to them and apply for an annulment of a marriage. And usually it's the sister, the woman, that goes for this fasakh. Why? Why the sister? Because a husband is not in need of applying for an annulment. He can simply end the marriage from himself. And we mentioned last lecture why this is a very big amana upon him. That he can end the marriage. The sister will usually apply for an annulment, and she will make her case to the ulama, and the ulama will look at the facts of the case, and they will decide, is this marriage, should there be an annulment, is it in the best interest of one or two of the parties, and based on those facts, they will then pronounce a fasakh, and the marriage would end. And the very last way of ending a marriage, very interesting one, a lady can actually approach her husband, and she can say to him, look, I'm not happy, whatever it might be, I want out of this marriage. You know, either you give me a talaq. If you don't want to give me a talaq, then I would like to pay you, purchase myself out of the marriage. A khula', it's called a khula'. And it's encouraged in this regard, if the woman is genuinely unhappy, then the husband should accommodate her, and he should let her go in a nice way, and perhaps she returns her dowry. This appears to be from the sunnah. The lady will say, look, you gave me this as a dowry, as a maskavi, I return it to you, so let us go our separate ways in kindness. So let's get back to the first one, the talaq. We said the husband, when he enters the marriage contract, when they become married, he is given by the Sharia three talaqs. He's given three talaqs. Maybe I like to use the analogy, three bullets in the gun. And what he would do is, when he exercises these bullets, when he issues the talaq, He does so by saying, I divorce you, I talak you. He doesn't need a reason. He doesn't need witnesses. He can do this from himself. Or, so he either makes an explicit statement, meaning divorce. Or if he says an ambiguous statement. So for example, if husband says, get lost, I'm done with you, we are finished. What did he mean? It could mean many, many things. There are many, many things it could mean. They're busy in an argument and the husband says, I'm done with this. Now he sits at the sheikh asks him, what did you mean? Did you mean I'm done with this marriage? I'm done with you as a wife? He says, no, I meant I'm done arguing with you. You win. That's what I mean. Right? So we look and we ask the brother when he makes a statement that's ambiguous. What was your niya when you said that thing? What did you mean? If he meant to end the marriage, he made a statement, we are finished now, and he meant we are finished being married together, then that counts as a divorce. Now brothers, this shows you the seriousness of these kind of statements, and something we take very lightly. You could end your marriage through an argument which you did not mean by saying these words. Remember the Sharia says that even if you did so in anger, if you did so in jest, as a joke, mockingly, even if it was a momentary, you didn't mean it fully, so long as you said it, it counts and your marriage could actually end. So he either gives a very clear statement and there's no taking back, or he gave an ambiguous statement and then we ask him, what did you mean? If he meant by that to divorce, then the marriage now comes into divorce. So the man gives talaq, number one. And when he gives that first talaq, the marriage now comes to, basically the marriage ends. Now the lady goes into what we call an idda period, a waiting period, meaning she cannot marry someone else. Why does she have an idda period? Because, of course, if a woman gets divorced today and she gets married immediately tomorrow, and then she falls pregnant, we don't know who the father of this child is. So the Sharia has built in a waiting period between, for a woman, between marriages. If a husband dies, if a husband divorces her, she needs to wait. And the idda is different depending on the circumstances. For a pregnant woman, her idda ends the minute she gives birth. So if her husband divorces her or he dies when she's pregnant, the minute she gives birth, whether it is 9 months, whether it is 1 day, the minute she gives birth, khalas, the waiting period is over. The idda period is over. In a normal situation, husband divorces, he talaks the wife, they now have 3 menstrual cycles. The lady, her 3 menses, that period is called an idda. If after the 3 menstrual cycles passes and the husband and wife do not reconcile, then the woman is now free. She may marry someone else. They are no longer husband and wife. During this idda period, they are still husband and wife. In fact, they should still live together. Why? Because the purpose of this idda period also is for them to find some form of reconciliation. So they still live as husband and wife. And if they are interacting with one another every single day, but there's no intimacy between them, there's no reconciliation, then perhaps this is a clear indication that after 3 menstrual cycles, that is better that they separate. But if they are together in this period, and they start laughing again, they start finding happiness again, and they're intimate with one another, then this will count as a revocation. The man has taken back his talaq. So now they continue, and they are married once again. They don't have to do a new nikah. The old nikah that they had, the original one, will still be intact, but the husband now only has 2 talaqs left. He gave 1, 2 left. If they fight again, he issues a second one, same story. He either takes her back in the idda period, or the idda period expires and he does not take her back, or she does not come back. Then what is the situation now? Now, as we said, they're no longer married. They need to be separated from one another. They are completely haram for one another. If they would like to get married 5-10 years later, they may do so, but with a new nikah contract. And after this new nikah contract, a new dowry, new witnesses, new everything, they get married, husband still only has 1 talaq. Not 3, he only has 1. If the husband issues that 3rd talaq, now they fight another time, and he issues a 3rd talaq, now they are separated completely, immediately. Now they cannot even remarry. No new nikah. The only way they can get him remarried is if she marries another man, and that man divorces her, and that idda is done, now only can they remarry anew. Why? Why did the Sharia do this? Well, the Sharia says, look, you had 3 talaqs. You used them all. You basically 3 strikes. Now maybe the only way for you to really realize if you are good or bad for one another is you need to compare with someone else. Wife, you need to marry someone else. Husband, you need to see her with another man. And now you need to realize, can I live with this? Do I want her for myself? Then only can you now, perhaps now your marriage will be more mature.
Also, side note here, never, ever, 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 ever give three talaqs all at once. This is not of the sunnah and it is haram. It counts, but it is not of the sunnah and it is haram. One talaq would have been enough. Usually out of spite and anger, husband will say, I talaq you three times. I give you all three talaqs in one. You have now ruined any chance of reconciliation. And the majority of scholars have said that three talaqs count as three. That all three, if you give it in one go, it counts as if you gave all three. There's a minority view. Some of the scholars have said three counts only as one. But let's not go into that gray area. Never ever give more than one talaq at a time, because one will be sufficient. So this is with regards to talaq. And we said last episode, husband could actually do what we call tafweedu talaq. He could actually say to the wife, you know what, the Sharia has given me these three talaq bullets, or three talaqs. I will give one of them to you. Or the wife could even stipulate in her marriage contract, before they get married, I would like one of your talaqs. So if I would like to exit the marriage, then I have the opportunity to pass the talaq and the marriage would end. It would count. Or they could even give the talaq to a third person. I will give the talaq to the imam. He may pass the talaq upon us. So the husband can transfer his talaq, which is called tafweedu talaq, to another person. But it is never advisable. And as I say to the sisters, I promise you, if you had the power of talaq, many of you would issue it in a moment of anger, and then you'll come to the imam saying, I regret it, I made a mistake. Please, what can we do? Find some loophole. Look in the Sharia. What does the other madhab say? Maybe Hanafi say something else, or the Shafi'is. Maybe even the Shias have something to say. Please find a way. And now the imam must struggle. No. So this issue of talaq, it's the responsibility of the husband. Don't issue it in moment of anger. The Sharia says that if you want to divorce your wife, then wait for, she shouldn't be in her menses, because obviously there's no intimacy. Obviously, perhaps the mood isn't so great. So don't ever issue a talaq in her, when she's in her menses. If between two menstrual periods, there has been a clean period, if you had intercourse with her, you shouldn't divorce her in that. So basically, if a man thinks about divorcing his wife, a month and a half should really pass. And then he should think about it. And then they should schedule a time and say, look, we've waited about this. We've discussed this at length. Now we feel it's the best time. And basically, as you would arrange for a nikah, you wouldn't do so immediately on the spur of the moment. Similarly, arrange for your talaq. This is perhaps the best and most appropriate way of doing the talaq. We said the second way of ending the marriage is something called a fasakh, annulment. Or in Cape Town, as a fasakh. The woman would go to the authority, the MJC, and she will complain about her husband, and she will list her case and saying, look, I'm unhappy in the marriage, I would like out of this marriage, husband refuses to issue me with a talaq, so please, ulama, please separate us. Now the ulama will look at her case. Now, there are certain guidelines that they would follow by, and this is correct, the ulama would not want to encourage divorce. It's their job to keep marriages together, to keep communities together. So they will try reconciliation. They will try counseling. And this period might take some time, so don't be impatient. Divorce can always happen. Never rush into divorce. Whether you got divorced today or in 6 months' time, leave that moment open for opportunity to reconcile. So what are the kind of things a woman can go to the MJC to complain about? Well, if her needs in terms of maintenance, basic maintenance are not being met, then this is grounds for fasakh. He's not providing food or shelter or clothing that is adequate, then he's not fulfilling his rights as a husband, his duties as a husband. If there is a lack of physical intimacy, he's not satisfying her in that regard, that is her haqq, then this may also be grounds for divorce. Of course, any form of abuse, any form of infidelity, any form of addiction, these kind of things would obviously be valid grounds for divorce. And the ulama, as I said, are generally cautious about this, because if, you know, we as ulama should not intervene in your marriage. This is something for you and your husband to resolve amongst yourself. And even your divorce, if you're unable to agree on that, it shows you that there's perhaps a level of immaturity in that regard. The last way, and we will end off with this, is called the khula', a very, very interesting form of divorce. This is a great sahabi by the name of Thabit ibn Qais, very famous sahabi. His wife comes to the Prophet ﷺ and she complains. And she says, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, I cannot complain about Thabit in terms of his deen. He's a good man, he's a good Muslim, a practicing Muslim, good brother, mashallah. And I can't complain in terms of, you know, his character. He's not a bad guy, but I don't want to be a
a kafir after I became Muslim. What she means here, perhaps, I don't want to be an ungrateful woman. I don't want to be a bad woman. And basically, when I'm around Thabit, it brings the worst out of me. In being married to him, I become a person I don't like. Basically, I'm not happy. I don't have any valid grounds. I can't say he hits me. I can't say he doesn't support me. I can't say he doesn't perform salah. He does the basics. Alhamdulillah. He's a good guy. But I am not happy with him. And I'm not happy being with him and the kind of person I'm with him. So please, can I exit this marriage? The Prophet ﷺ says, well, if this is what you want, then okay. Thabit, take her garden. So the Prophet says to the lady, Thabit gave you a garden as your dowry. You know, it's a big thing. He gave you a big dowry, mashallah. He really loved you. He gave you a big dowry. Will you return that garden to him and then go and divorce? Are you willing to give up that garden to leave him? She said, yes, if I'll give him gladly. Take back the garden. So the Prophet says to Thabit, take back your dowry, take back the garden, and basically let her go. So in this situation, a wife can agree with her husband to exit the marriage. So this is with regards to talaq in a nutshell, or divorce in a nutshell. As we said, it's not something which is easy and should not be taken on a whim, but should be thought out and discussed with people around. Consider the repercussions. Ultimately, as Allah says in the Quran, that you may hate something in your partner, but from it, lots of good comes from there. So never ever give talaq or go to the, you know, to end your marriage on a whim. Spend a lot of time and think and weigh the pros and the cons. Because I promise you, in every marriage, the fact that you are married, there are a lot of goods, a lot of happiness, a lot of joy that you had with one another. Yes, this is a bad patch, a rough patch, and if it can be fixed, fix it. But of course, if there is no hope for fixing this, then also the Sharia allows each and every one of us to find happiness, either with in this marriage or in some other marriage, and therefore it has legislated three ways in which we could end a marriage. Before I conclude, we'd like to host a course on marriage itself. Happily ever after, inshallah, we'll be having a course at Burhanul Islam. If you'd like to be part of that course, the details will follow. Then please email me, wismuhammad@gmail.com, or respond to this audio to say that yes, you would be keen to be part of our marriage course, and we will do the logistics thereon. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.